Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics podcast. I am your host, Daniel Cabal. Today, I have the very special two guests today, co-authors, JL Yarrow. How are you guys doing today?
We're
Doing
doing thank you
great.
so much.
Thanks for
Yeah,
having us.
anytime,
Anytime. I
Yep.
know, when you guys emailed me, I was like so slammed. So I was glad that I had a couple of things get rearranged. I actually had somebody with a similar subgenre as you guys bail out after like a year of being set. So I was like, this kind of worked perfectly. So it was nice to be able
Good.
to put you guys, in that slot. I was trying to do that, like I had somebody two seasons ago. They're like, you've had so many epic fantasy back to back. And I'm like, well, there is a reason for that because I had a child and it's like there was either going to be podcast interviews done or not done, So I
Oh my
just kind of
gosh.
kept going. But yeah, now we try to mix it up a little. So it was nice that we could get you guys, in that slot. So thank you so much for coming on today and letting us chat with you about your books. So thank you so much. And we'll actually get right there with that first question. What have your writing journeys been like up until this point?
You want me to start?
Sure,
I'm
go
here.
ahead.
Okay. My writing journey's been pretty different than John's. Actually, I was the word person all my life, pretty much. I mean, as a teenager, I was the one that studied all the lyrics on the record covers, you know what I mean? And a big reader all my life. And John, when I married John, he was writing already. He had a book under his belt. And I ended up hearing a lot of his recordings from his editor at the time, who was a professor from SMU.
Oh,
And we
cool.
would travel and listen to these cassette tapes of his reading. And I learned a lot from there. And it evolved into Devil's Advocate and then Proofreader. And then we raised a family and kind of it took a step back at that point. John's always written, but we were very involved, you know, with our kids. So in the last few years, he's gotten back to writing, which means we did a lot more, you know, working together on proofreading and throwing ideas around. And he was like, you know, I think I'd like to see if we could get this sold. And so then I came more on board and it's evolved into a collaborative process. So
Awesome.
it's a little bit different than his journey.
Yeah, I will say that it's nice to have your spouse writing partner become your writing partner because you can go through life enjoying it. I feel blessed that she was willing to take an interest in what I was doing and join me. So, but I personally started in college. I was working my way through school. I lived in a garage apartment. I was too broke to do anything, right?
Pay
So
attention.
yeah,
I know that
I did a
feeling.
lot. Yeah.
So I did a lot of reading, and then I was reading Robert E. Howard's series Conan the Barbarian, and yeah, and I was like, all right, this guy writes wonderful. I wonder if I could do that. And I started writing, and then I showed one of my English professors. He goes, you like writing? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I have a group called the Creation Factory Writers Workshop, and we meet on
Oh, cool.
Sundays, and we critique each other's work, and I help edit your stuff, and so I joined that, and through college and my first couple of years out, I wrote my first novel called From a Far Colony, which was a fantasy fiction series, and then I started my second book called The Recombinant Theory, and that's when Leanne came on board and started talking. I was bouncing ideas off, and then life got in the way, and we started having children, and we kind of pulled back for a long time. And then when our youngest son started driving and he was gone all the time, I said, oh, I miss writing. So I got back into it. And that's when we started this series called, Future's Dark Past is the first book. And now we call it the Time Forward Trilogy because there's three of them. So that's how I kind of got into it. But while I was not writing novels, I did write some short stories and articles, tech articles and things like that. So I didn't totally quit writing, but
He adapted a novella for NPR.
yeah, for
Oh,
a
cool.
radio script. Yeah, I did
Yes. Oh,
that.
that's awesome.
Almost the Hangman by Roger Zelazny. So that was cool.
Oh, that's
That got
cool.
produced. So that was fun.
That's awesome. Well, that's super cool. I'm staring at the camera at my wife right now saying, let's do this thing. So
Yeah,
I
yeah.
totally understand the child thing. My son in the future is going to be watching this. I love you, buddy, but you take a
Yeah.
lot of time and energy, which is totally
Yeah.
fine.
Right.
I always tease people.
Yeah.
They're always like, "Where's your stuff at?" I'm like, "I have a small child. You're gonna have to wait a little bit, you know, because
It's
I
somewhere.
enjoy
Yeah.
being a dad." Yeah, so I definitely understand that. It's interesting though. I talk to so many parents, right, that are authors and writers, and you know, it's like you always just like you said, right? Like, don't really stop, right? It's just something
Yeah.
that just is like a part of you, which I think is just a cool ongoing theme that we've had this year on season four, particularly, you know, with parents who are authors. So it gives us all hope, right? That we can
Yeah.
continue, you know, and
Hang
that
in
we all
there.
understand. Yeah, we all understand that, right? But that's really cool. But it's cool that I think that, you know, you guys were able to share that. I'm always teasing my wife, that my son reads more than her because we read about 2 months every
Yeah.
night. And she's like, "Leave me alone."
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, but like for
Yeah.
me, like books have always just been the thing, you know, the type of
Mm-hmm.
media. When you say Robert E. Howard, like I go right back to college and even before that, I think it was 13 when I discovered the 2000s reimagining of Conan the Barbarian comics and graphic novels, and I have all of them individually. And then I went
Yeah.
to college and I was like, oh, one of my professors was like at community college was like, "That's a book series, buddy." And I'm like, "Oh, I
Yeah.
just thought it was a movie with Arnold and a comic book." He's like, "No, check this out." So then I went to Michigan State University and I had this amazing bookstore that had all the pulps, and I think I bought like 14 of them, you know, and read six of them within the first 3 weeks. And my mom was like, "What are you doing with all your money?" I'm like, "Nothing, you know, but like books were,
Yeah.
you know, what I was spending it on." So I absolutely loved that fall. I just was going to classes and getting an education, and I was just reading Conan, having all these adventures. So now if it's a
Well,
Conan comic, like I own it. My wife's like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "I'm going to the comic store to get my Conan comics, you know." And
there you
it's
go.
just, yeah, that's definitely one that's definitely kept me wanting to write. But there was one in particular you mentioned that I always like to share the story is that there's a comic at the end of Conan Barbarian from the 2000s run, and there's one where it's reminiscing of, and it's in one of the biographies too, where his friend is watching Robert E. Howard write. And he said that it's almost like you would he could see like Conan sitting there on Robert E. Howard's porch, and the tales are all over the place, right? And he likened it to a friend telling you, "Hey, this story this one time." So I always just even just love the, you know, the things that surrounded Robert E. Howard's writing too, were always just so cool
Yeah.
to me, you know. So
Yeah.
not just Conan, but he was just a
Yeah.
interesting individual. And yeah, so
He was.
anytime, yeah, someone says that, I'm like, I totally get that. So he's
So
definitely a big.
we're kindred spirits because in high school that's what I did. I read all the Conan Barbarian
Oh, nice.
comics and I still have the first one because I remember when it came out and I've got it up on my wall in a
Oh, cool.
closed in on a little
I was trying to think of what year that was because it
that was a while
seemed a
back.
long
So
time ago. So I still I
have
missed one of the
original
original
first
ones.
one. Yeah,
I was in
it
eBay.
is.
I was so close in the auction. I was so mad.
Yeah.
And it was down there, and I didn't think anybody had seen it, but you know, somebody had been watching it,
Yeah.
and I got, but like last minute, but it was like the original Conan comic. I almost snatched it for
Yeah.
like $200. Yeah, I
Yeah.
definitely the Frank Frazetta covers and everything too. There was somebody
Oh, yeah.
recently, they
Yeah.
had them as like a poster and these little cutouts, and I was like, "How much do you want for those at a Comic Con?" He's like, "Oh, like $2 a piece." I'm looking at my wife, she's like, "You have to do that." I'm like, so I
Yeah.
bought like three of them. They're in my office right now,
Yeah.
so.
Oh, nice.
Great.
So, and then I was in college and just starting out, and I found somebody had one of those books. I went, wait, they're books?
Yeah.
That's how I got into it. So,
No, it's
no
awesome.
TV, so
But
you got to
he
read.
was
he's a wonderful writer. His
Yeah.
imagery and visualization and the way
Yep.
he crafts things is just amazing. So,
Yeah.
hooked
Well, it was
me.
cool because I went to, I'm a history teacher. So it was so interesting. I had teachers, you know, like professors where I had the Conan book, and after class, right, they'd be like, "Oh, hey, you'll like this." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And we would talk about, you know, like where he got the Hyborian Age from, or, you know, or this
Yeah.
group or that group. And I mean, just the history alone of how he wrote it, you know, everything and where he got those ideas from, just like absolutely fascinating. And then it was nice for me at that time because they had like the Conan World Dictionary. come out, and they had like Robert E. Howard's original stuff, his journal notes, but they also had a couple other like writers, like Robert Jordan wrote some of them, right? Well, he was in that book. So I have it's a huge tome, but that itself was just like really cool. But I think it's always cool, right? Where you can take something like that or somebody's experience and then, like really add that to your writing journey. So I think that's cool. Well, that's really neat. So we're going to talk a little, you talked a little bit about, your guys' writing journey so far. So we'll get into genre. So currently, what genre or genres do you currently write in and why?
So currently we're writing in sci-fi time travel, right? And I started out with a concept of, I don't know if you remember the old TV show Time Tunnel.
Oh,
So I really love that. And I thought, well, I'd like to write something like that, but with a purpose, an overarching arc. So that's when I got into writing in this genre. And I was reading more sci-fi than fantasy at the time. And so that's how I kind of moved into that. I wrote a our second novel was the Recombinant Theory, which was kind of paranormal, where I was using CRISPR back in the 90s to alter this guy and that. And so I just kind of migrated from that into true sci-fi.
Oh, that's cool. I was gonna say, I
Actually,
watched that.
before.
That's cool. I was gonna say,
Right.
I
It was
watched that Time
actually.
Tunnel with my grandpa. I remember that. Like,
Right, with the circle, right?
Well, that I remember watching that, and then he got me addicted to Quantum Leap, of course. So, that's super cool. Oh, that's neat. I always find it interesting, I think, particularly with, for science fiction, but particularly with like time travel or, anything like that, to really see where, like people's like original ideas came from or their influences, things like that. So that's a good one though. I haven't heard that one yet. So, but I remember that specifically from like the poster, and like the TV guide and stuff. My grandma had it and she kept all of them. So she was like, oh yeah, we have the TV guide still. And she like pulled it out
Oh
and had
God.
it covered everything. Yeah, that's super cool. Well, that's awesome.
So my publisher asked me to write a novelette to bridge kind of book one and two,
Oh,
and
cool.
then it turned into a novella, and then it then she's reading it and going, well, that really should be a novel. And then he read and he goes, I did not see that coming, because I've kind of mashed fantasy and science fiction into this thing. And so then we decided to pull that out, and that's actually the beginning of the next series, which will be titled The Five Known Worlds.
Oh, that's cool.
So
That's awesome. I think it's always cool though too, because I always argue with people that Back to the Future is actually fantasy and sci-fi mixed, right? Because if you're actually looking at the science, and I always talk about Back to the Future 3 because the DeLorean is actually back in the past, right? All they have to do is replace the parts. But it wouldn't make a good story that way, right? But then there's other things, that I'm like, just that suspension of disbelief, right? And I think there's a lot of that with Quantum
Exactly.
Leap
That's what
too.
you got to get through.
Because I don't think people remember, because Quantum Leap, as you get going, right, like there's actually that larger storyline. You know what I mean? I don't want to give it away, but once you get to the end, that arc, I mean, it ended up actually, I think, bringing in more of those fantasy elements than a lot of people think. So I
It
think
did.
that when you say that, I'm like, oh, that totally makes sense to me with, where I'm coming from, from, the like Back to the Future and, Quantum Leap, because I do think there's that intermix between science fiction and fantasy. But there's a lot of cool things you can do with it too, obviously. That's a little bit easier than just straight, right, like science fiction with the time travel. So I think that's cool. Well,
He
that's awesome.
comes up with these huge ideas and throws them out there, and he's like, this is all going to fit in like this. And I'm looking at it going, actually, it's a standalone. And he's arguing, no. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And so I felt vindicated when the publisher's like, no, this is a standalone. So, but he did make it did work. It was cohesive. But we pulled a couple things out and integrated them into book three. And it's kind of a good start, I think, to the next series.
Oh, that's cool. No, that's awesome. I think that's good too, because I just want to point that out, because this is a journeyman's podcast, as I always like to say. So it's for people like myself, right, who are just about to publish or have just published, anything. I would always say from one to three novels, in particular, because I really think once you get to that fourth one, I really think From my experience with talking to so many different authors on here and privately, that's really when stuff really starts to change for you individually or as a team, right? Because you just have a different level of experience. It's like you get to a next level. So those 4 through 5 or, six novels, anything after that 1 through 3, really seems to be quite different. So I just think that's interesting that you guys mentioned that, because I do think it's part of that experience, right? Is being able to listen to each other or even yourself or an editor.
Huge.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
say, like, this is
Huge.
this, right? I just talked to somebody the other day about that, where, we talked about how you know when a novel is a novel, when it's a novelette, when it's a short story, or like you were saying, right? Like, it ends here, or it is a standalone. So I think that, your readers are going to pick that up more than you, right? Like, my students know when I'm BSing them or when I'm telling the truth, right? So, like, more than I do, So I think that's like leadership too, right? Like, they definitely know when this thing ends, and or you can just feel it, right? And I've definitely had people where I'm like, God, this series should have ended, like that kind of thing, or this show was done last season,
I'm
And,
exhausted.
yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I love Cobra Kai. I love the TV show, but this definitely needs to be the last season. My brother's like, they're kind of struggling a little bit. And I'm like, when you try and make Mr. Miyagi a bad guy, no matter, even if you're just trying to influence it or whatever, I'm like, now we're out of ideas. You took my favorite character of all time and you're trying to do this weird thing. So I'm like, now should end the run. So, but I think that
There you
comes
go.
with that experience. So I think that's smart that you guys were listening to that. But I just want to point that out for our audience, because especially newer people, you tend to think, like, much like a teenager, you know what's best, but always listen to the people that know more than you. My editor was like, you need a fifth or a sixth draft of this novella. It's just not, there's a lot here, but you're not ready. And I was supposed to release like back in October, and I probably won't release till like February or March now, maybe not even till the spring, but she knows way more than me, I guarantee it. So I like to listen to people that know more. So that's my one thing for the audience. Definitely always do that. Or like you said, listen to your partner. I tend to try and listen to my wife all the time. So it's served me well
You're
so far.
smart man.
Yeah. I'll definitely live and do a lot more podcasts longer. You know what I mean? But now this is always my absolute favorite question to ask people, is really just dive in about their books and their stories. So what is your Time Forward trilogy about, and how did you come up with this idea?
So, Time Forward trilogy is a, and I'm glad we're talking about the trilogy as an overarching arc of the story, right? And because while the each novel has a standalone piece to it, a problem, they all participate in the overarching plot and theme of the story. So, and I think we talked a little bit about the time travel piece and how I wanted to do that, but I also wanted a kind of a call to action to say, if hindsight's 2020 and we knew something bad was going to happen, would we actually change it? I mean, if we knew in 80 years that the world's going to be destroyed if we keep on this path, would we start changing now, right? And so that's kind of how it came about, is that, so the you know the and from the overall piece, they discover a time wormhole on the outskirts of our solar system, and they're able to harness that and figure out that they can actually send people back. And the people that they have to send back have to be physically, genetically altered, where their muscle mass and their bone density can actually survive the travel. And so that's when they start sending people back to try and alter events that lead up to this devastating war at the end of this century. And so they come back, a couple, they, and only a few of them can come back. And they recruit an AI scientist, FBI agent from our time period to help out. And he's not very willing at the beginning, but as he moves along, he becomes more adept. So
The big
he
picture.
sees the big picture. And so that's how that kind of came about, right? So from a trilogy point of view, that's the overarching theme that, we want to come back and try and stop ourselves from the future's dark past, right? And destroying it. So, and by the way, the original title was The Edge of Tomorrow, and some guy stole that with a movie.
Me. Which is funny, because that original movie was
Yeah.
had two other titles.
I know, I know.
That's the
So
one they
I was
ended
like,
with.
dang, I can't believe they did that. So
You
then,
think you have it figured out and you just don't. So right.
Yeah.
So we came out with Future's Dark Past. Second book is called Future Unfolds, and the third book is Future Impact. So,
It's cool. It's so funny because I remember when that movie came out, and I was like, they had changed it right when it was still in theaters. Like, so
Yeah.
I went to the movie, and then my friend was like, "Oh, I went to see this Tom Cruise movie." And I was like, "I went to see Edge of Tomorrow." And I was like, "What movie did you see?" And then we start talking about it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the same movie. Like,
Movie,
they
yeah.
changed it in different parts of the country at different times. It was
Yeah.
like the weirdest thing.
That was crazy.
Yeah, great movie, right? Like, it was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm curious, like, in terms, so talking about sci-fi fantasy for a minute and some of those tropes, right? And some of the things within, those subgenres. I'm just curious that, like, particularly for book one, what were you guys really like focused on? Did you want something? Because you said, right, like, where you're taking these genetically modified humans so they can,
Yeah.
withstand it physically. So were you focused a little bit more on the science aspect of what the time travel would be, something similar to that? Or were you kind of just going with the storyline that you wanted and then kind of finding the science there and then taking some fantastical elements? I'm just kind of curious at how you were coming up with the story with the genre in mind of time travel and where you were kind of picking and choosing some of those fantasy and sci-fi elements from.
Yeah, so we have a writing friend, James R. Wells, who's the great grandson of H.G. Wells, and he
Oh, that's
writes
cool.
science fiction.
Yeah.
And his story, and I'm going to paraphrase, and he always gets mad because I don't say it exactly the way he says it, but his grandfather said that you can have one fantastical thing in your story and that's people will buy it. You can even have two. But once you get past two, then they start not buying it and they'll tune out. So I tried to keep it to a couple of things that were fantastical, like the time wormhole, right? I didn't want the standard, okay, you see the wormhole, it's got a portal and you dive into the portal, or it's an open-ended thing. I created one that's where the ends are tapered and you actually have to use exotic matter to drill a hole into it to
Oh,
dump the
that's
people
cool.
into it. So that was the big fantastical piece science wise, and then the rest of it's more based on hard science fiction, whether it's kinetic guns or the other big one I created was I wanted a device, an EMP device that not only took out electrical but also caused people to become unconscious by disrupting their electrical waves too. So I created the bio EMP in the book. So
Oh, cool.
I just, you just kind of keep developing things like that,
Bits and pieces.
bits and pieces. And
Yeah.
I was reminded of Barry Levinson, who wrote Ringworld, and we were at Worldcon a few years ago, more than a few now, but and this guy, he's on a panel, and somebody asked him, so well, when you write yourself into a technical corner, what do you do? And he just laughed and said, well, I'm a writer. I'm a sci-fi writer. I make shit up.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes you're making it up and sometimes you're really diving into what it should be. And I do a lot of research, and but I also want to keep it to where a lot of hard science fiction, there'll be 4 pages describing one thing, right? And I think that kind of for me slows the story down. And I think a
Yeah,
lot of
yeah.
people more prefer getting enough of what you're doing to understand it and what it is, but not where it's slowing the story down or taking out of what you're trying to accomplish, right? So
Yeah.
that's kind of how that all comes about.
I think that's perfect. It's funny because sometimes things that happen to me when I ask people things are pretty serendipitous. So I'm listening to Terra Ascending, which is J.R. Wise, is one of my season four, episode four. So he just did that and did it really well, I think, is and I'm in a situation with his Marines where he's having to explain new technology, right? But he just talks about it and he says a little bit, right, which is their understanding, and then somebody asks a question as they're explaining it to like the special ops guy, and he goes, "Well, ask the next higher up question." And they go, "I don't know. I'm just a Marine or I'm just a grunt or whatever." But it was like, but that makes sense, right? Because you know how it works as a weapon, but you don't really know the greater implications. And I think that's for anybody, right? Like I know how my car works, but not how my car works to fix it, right? So I think that's just a prime example of using that kind of thing for your audience, right? And I totally agree with you. If I see 4, 5, 6 pages, like I'll be honest, I'm skipping it. I want to get to the characters. And I even think in fantasy that happens, And I did hear that quote from a few years ago, so it's so funny. I don't know if somebody talked to him or what, but like I remember specifically it's in some of my interviews. Like somebody mentioned that, or if they had read an article or
Yeah.
something where he mentioned that, because we talked specifically about that, where even in fantasy, you know, like I have a Mughal Empire thing and it's in a fantasy realm, but it's like, you know, I'm trying to add realistic historical things that make sense, but I'm not adding, I would say, like that many fantastical elements, right? Like I have different,
Yeah.
you know, races and stuff, but that are, you know, part of fantasy. But at the end of the day, you believe it's part of that world building. Now, there's just a couple other things that I am going to change, right? That make that story from historical fiction to fantasy. So I think that makes total sense trying to, you know, limit the fantastical elements. I think really within, you know, genre itself, right? Because you see Gandalf, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, how on earth are they going to get? You're like, I know this guy's powerful, but why can't they just use the eagles or do whatever, right? Well, I'm like, it
Yeah.
seems like a pretty unwarranted magic system and it's not super reliable. So to me, that makes total sense as a reader that they couldn't do X, Y, and Z. So I think that makes total sense trying to, you know, tone down, you know, the fantastic elements and, you know, just stick to a few and even, you know, kind of dive into those or head into those just a little bit more. So I think that makes total sense. That's super cool. And you mentioned the FBI agent. You know, in terms of cast of characters, I'm just kind of curious, you know, kind of what we can expect, you know, starting off with that first book on who kind of is our cast of characters. Does it mainly start with his point of view? Or are there several? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah,
That's
so
fun.
we talk about this all the
Right.
time because it originally started out with Hunter Coburn, who's the FBI AI scientist, and how he gets kind of pulled into it. And then Kristen Winters is the young lady who's, I kind of, she, you know, someone kind of compared her to Laura Croft, but on steroids, right? Because she's
Nice.
physically
Yeah.
and, you know, enhanced. And so she's come back, and I have another man who comes back, Richard Kantz, who's German, and he's enhanced, and they're partners, but they don't get along. And so we started the story and dive right into it. And then my publisher goes, "This is all great, but you need some more character development at the beginning so that we actually understand." And at that time, Leanne's like, "You know, Kristen's really the protagonist." I'm like, "No, Hunter's the protagonist because that's who I started out with." And then when I started thinking about, okay, I got to write some beginning stuff, it wound up being all Kristen, right? So the first four chapters are all about
Oh, cool.
Kristen. So she's the main character, book one, and Hunter's a protag, you know, main character too, and so is Kantz. And then in book two, they kind of team together, and in book three, Hunter's more so than Kristen, but they're all three in the book. So
Oh, cool.
I wanted somebody who knew AI because I really, you know, one of my specialties, and I'm in IT, is AI, and so I wanted to talk about that and discuss some of the ramifications going on in that realm,
Yeah.
right? And then I wanted somebody who was just, Kristen, you know, was forced into this role. She was, you know, about to be killed on the planet Earth after it had been devastated, and joined this force and had to be transformed. And you know, you discover only like 20, 25% of the people who actually go through that process survive.
Oh.
So she's, you know, so she's like, well, that's better than dying here. So
Yeah.
she actually makes it. And so she learns the ropes and how to time travel and starts coming back. And then she winds up partnering with a Hunter and
The FBI
the
agent.
FBI agent, and they start going through. And you know, he's reluctant at first, but then he finally figures out that they really have to do this together to actually stop it for billions of people, right? Because at the end, in 2355, there's like 3 million people left, and they surviving in a few dome cities on the planet, and in some space stations, and then on a colony on Mars. So.
Well, so a short history lesson, guys. There were only 3.5 million people in the 13 colonies that turned the United
Yeah.
States by 1787. So that's what we're talking
Yeah.
about, the entire
Yeah.
planet Earth.
Yeah. There you
So
go.
so I've had a
They
lot
get
of
way back.
questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a lot of questions recently that people that like authors and writers, particularly just getting starting out, have asked me. So I just was trying to point out a couple things here real quick that I thought were interesting that you mentioned that, you know, I had a character that was like, I am not the main character. Like,
Yeah.
to hell you're not. Like, I just wrote like 30,000 words that says otherwise.
Yeah.
But it wasn't working, and I had to reanalyze that. And then I did the same.
Yeah.
I switched quite a few things around, and I've had a couple other stories where, I'm like, well, this is a main character, and then somebody's like, ah, man, it's actually like my novella recently, my second and third one in a trilogy. I had a character I thought was a secondary character, and she's like, that's the hell I'm not. Like, I'm a co-lead, and I'm like, kind of like your character, Chris, you don't mess with her. So I'm like, okay, yes, ma'am, you're a co-lead. So I'm rewriting, the whole series, honestly, later as that. And I was like, God, this is a cooler story. So I just want to point out to our audience, that's a really good way to really listen to your characters. I've mentioned that a lot in season four. I've been trying to do that more. So I just want to point that out. So I think that's really smart. Obviously not easy, right? Having to rework
If you're
those
an
things.
organic writer, which you sound like you are too, your characters kind of you start with a high level concept, but they become alive and then they tell you what they really are, right? So
You have to be able to monitor what's going on and adjust and
Ooh, good way to
not
put
be
it.
so attached, not be so attached that you're just stuck, you know?
That's a great way to put it. 'Cause I've met a couple people recently, and they're like, well, and I'm like, they'll tell me in 5 minutes. I'm like, I would just do this. I think it comes from D&D, like not only playing the games, but setting them up, and trying to set up characters, for players, right? To interact with. I don't know. I always recommend to any writer to write at least some modules, or put people through that, because it will definitely change your perspective as a writer. And I think you're totally rightly in it. It really, even in the moment, right? I had people that were higher level, and I thought, oh, they're gonna blow by this villain, and it was really difficult. So I had to like change things in the moment. So yeah, I think a lot of people, right, you're like, oh, but I really want this character to be this thing. But I think it's right. You're totally right with it. You have to be organic about it. So I think that's a really good way to put it. But yeah.
It's interesting because for our publisher, we had to do a story Bible. And in that story Bible, you had to have an outline. And so for the whole series, because we'd done book one and we'd started book two, but they wanted to see the whole series. So I wrote an outline, but at the very end, I put, I reserve the right to change any and all things based on character development.
Well, which you
Book three.
should. Yeah.
And then book three lands like, you're not following the outline. I'm like,
That was
you know.
very helpful, actually, because we had to develop the background and the history of each of the
Character.
characters in it. And we really did a lot of walking and talking while we constructed that. And it really guides how that character reacts or responds to what's going on in every situation and how they interact with each other. So that was a very interesting exercise, I think, to develop that history for each one. And then this is very, it's a huge story overall, and there's so many different characters, and so just they interact. You have to think about what time period they're in and what time period they came from and what, so you have to consider all of
Their
those
world view from
aspects.
those time periods.
That's actually a really good point, because I just was discussing this, like, some of my kids with history, they're like we had a, we're in ancient, like, Egypt, right? River Valley civilizations, and we're in social hierarchy, and people are like, well, the bottom of the class in Egyptian society is unskilled laborers. And they're like, well, what's an unskilled laborer? And then one of my kids was like, we went up, and they're like, wait, where are slaves in this? And we're like, okay, they're here. And then we had to deconstruct, right, what our American or US history, perspective is, right? Which is totally different than that world history one, right? Like, one of my kids was like, heck, prisoners, right? Just like today, right? They could have been slaves, and then they're not in the social hierarchy. And I was like, it blew my mind that these guys were, understanding that as historians, you have to look at the society at that time and take your societal norms. I had a kid remind another kid, you can't bring our societal norms to this time period. So I think that's so right, is that you guys had,
Perspective.
like that. I never thought of that from a time traveler's perspective, but they do such a great job, right? Whether it's in Quantum Leap, whether it's in, Back to the Future, or even in the movie Looper, with Bruce Willis, they do a good job of that.
That's
So,
one of
yeah.
my favorite movies when he's there with Jeff Daniels and he said, "How's the French going?" He goes, "It's going great because you really need to learn Chinese." He's like, "You know what? I go, no, trust me, you need to learn Chinese."
For it.
So,
But they just, I think you guys make such a good point. There, you do have to, I didn't think about that. You do, have, if you have somebody from this decade, even, right? And then, 20 years apart, even that, I mean, that's massive, right? Or somebody from the 60s to now, and you can pick any one little thing, about society that's different, whether it's food culture or the greater political or other shifts. I mean, that's a lot, now that you guys mentioned it, to keep
Yeah,
track of. So I
good
think a
point.
story Bible, particularly for your guys's outline, and subgenre, just makes total sense. So yeah, I
One of
think that would be
my
helpful.
friends sent me a meme, and it was I'd love to send my drop my kids back into 1975 and see how long they survive.
Well, I had kids
Yeah.
today, and
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, I'm like, I asked you with all the world at your disposal to
Yeah.
write three sentences about this thing that we've already learned. It's a review. And
Yeah.
I'm like, and they're la and they're like saying stuff. I'm like laughing because my co-teacher was at a conference, and I'm like, we were laughing last week because we're like, they can't do a paper when all they have to do is watch a movie or whatever, like The Martian is what we just did. And I'm like, guys, I'm like, we had to go and actually not just find books, but read them and then come
Yeah.
up with the paper. I go, and that was for
Yeah.
every class. I go,
Yeah,
you might have
exactly.
now till next Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness. So I totally agree with that. I'm just like, yeah, it's interesting. They were asking us, like I didn't have a cell phone until I was in 8th grade, and I didn't have the internet on my phone until I was like 23, 24. They're like, how did you do things? I'm like, I just went to the library,
Yeah, you didn't do them, right? You had a
They're
map
like, how
show
did
in
you
your
find your
car.
friends? They're
Yeah.
that's so funny. Like, how'd you find your friends on a Friday night? I go, we drove around.
Yeah,
What do you
exactly.
mean?
Yeah. Let's
So yeah,
check
but
Bill's
I
hat. Yeah.
exactly. But it's so funny, right? But I totally agree with you. Like, they don't have that concept, right? And there's concepts that we don't have from,
Yeah.
from earlier generations. So I think that makes total sense that you, character wise,
Yeah.
not just story wise, right? You would need to be able to track and map those things. I'm thinking just the interaction between the three of us,
Yeah.
right? If we're from three different, even remotely different time periods, right? Like, we'd have to track how different conversations go, different situations, how would they react? So I think that, yeah, mapping that out, in the story Bible, I think makes total sense. So I think that was
And I will
nice.
say, I will add that having that outline really helped with the decor in our house.
Oh,
One day
nice.
I came in, well, one day I came home and John had taken all of the pictures off the wall in his office and had about 1,000 note cards, not taped to the wall, but thumbtacked to the wall in these huge
Oh.
piles. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me, you know? It
Moving them around, it was great. I could
amazing.
visually see what they looked like. It
I
was
had huge
awesome.
pinholes in the wall. It's like, this is not going to do.
Now, see, talk about even just this time period. Like, you geographically,
Yeah.
you do that at my house, you know, it would be a totally different genre. It'd be like a mystery thriller or a crime thriller to
Yeah.
try and find your
Right.
body, like, so that's really funny. That's awesome. Well, that's what I was talking to HM Long about, and then a couple, like 2 seasons ago, and Tilda Colt Holt and I talked about that too, where they were like, I really wanted to do this. Instead, I went on to
Yeah.
Facebook and found a whiteboard, and then
Right.
their spouse was like, can you
Exactly.
just, they found
That's
like
what I did.
big
Yeah.
chalkboard.
Yeah,
That's
big
really awesome.
one. Yeah, she got me a whiteboard. Really big one. So then I did the time tunnel spiral, and I had all my chapters all around going around the spiral. So
That's awesome.
we have to get a little more organized here.
You guys should take pictures of them, put them in the newsletter. That's really cool.
There you go. There you go.
That's like a whole
You
nother
know, you yeah,
podcast.
you had
It's like
mentioned the growth over the first three books,
a
and I agree with that 100% because it's taken, of course, that's when I started to get more involved with this, but it's taken these three books to get it figured out, you know, the trust and communication and you know how to
Yeah, well, the
handle.
first book was my third book. So, and you know, one of the things she says, well, are you any good at this? And I entered a couple contests and I came in second place in both of them. And we're like, oh, this is working. So we started putting time into it. So,
I always admired his stories, but I'm not a sci-fi reader, believe it or not. I've watched a lot of TV and movies with him, but that's not my genre. I'm very Larry McMurtry and Nelson DeMille, and you know, keep the thriller, which we do have a lot of thriller aspects, but it's very different than, you know, when I'm reading it, I'm going, oh, this all seems kind of crazy to me. But then if you pick it out, it's the good story, you know, the bones of a good story. And And then you develop the characters into what's going on in the setting and the situation. So
Yeah, early on, she said, "What does being spaced mean?" I said, "Well, that's
what's
where
a
they
space
throw you
thing?
out the airlock." And
Right.
she goes, "Well, you didn't have to explain that." I was like, "No, trust me, honey.
Yeah.
Everybody reads sci-fi knows what being
Yeah.
spaced means."
They're gonna get it. And I'm like,
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. So
right.
that's
she's
awesome.
come a long way since then.
Things
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
that.
Well, it's funny because I have a couple friends, like who they really liked, fantasy or something like that, and then they combined with, I think my other friend was like, I think he did like thrillers, but they combined with a little bit of horror too, to, I mean, it was just like, it was like The Walking Dead but fantasy, but it was just so like scary, like you were just thinking at
Yeah.
any moment, like you didn't know if a character was going to make it. It was like George R. R. Martin on steroids. But because, they were able, like you said, just to create a good story, they did have the fantastical elements in there, but if you're really trying to figure out like who, like who released the plague and why, it was kind of like World War Z in
Yeah.
that effect, but yeah, I do think that a good story is a good story. So for
Yeah.
me, I really liked The Martian, not because of the sci-fi. I did not like the science. Like, I thought they were
Yeah.
cool things, but I thought the humor and the themes and just the story itself was really interesting. So I gravitated towards like that aspect. And it's funny to see some of my kids, right, where they're like, "Oh, I liked it because of this." And at the end of the day, we all
Yeah.
liked it for a different reason, but I think it's just because it was a really good story. So I think you make a really good point on that. It's a good story is a good story, whether or not,
Yeah.
if it's a good, true crime, or even if it's I read, my goodness. It's like under, I think it's called Under Blue Skies. And it was like a memoir of a girl from the Middle East and how she came here to the United States, everything. And oh my gosh, it was just a brilliantly written story. And I'm not usually a memoir person. I love history, but I'm not usually a memoir, but it was just written. It was just one of those that was just written. And it was such a great story. And it kind of arced back onto itself. So I think you're totally right, Leanne. A good story is a good story. And as long as you can, do the right thing with the characters, I think it shines through, no matter what the genre or genres you're writing in, or trying to apply are. So I think that makes total sense. So, so yeah.
We do have humor in the story too.
Oh yeah.
One,
You have to in
yeah,
time
so
travel, right? Like
yeah.
that's just
Kristen's
the, yeah.
constantly butchering idioms, and Hunter's like, no, that's not right,
I'm trying to remember if it was like Gamer Man or something like that, or Future Man. Future Man. They had quite a few of those, and the people from the future, right? Or it's like Sylvester Stallone, right, with Sandra Bullock, right, and Demolition Man or whatever it was. And their humor is so different, right? Yeah. So I love where they're doing that all the time. I just want to go back to that fourth question though, because we talked a little bit about it, but what really was like the most challenging aspect of writing this like overall story for you guys? And why was that the hardest thing?
For me, one of the hardest things was tracking three novels in your brain, right? And all the characters and keeping it all going. And so that, and all the different time periods and tracking. And so that for me was really difficult. And then creating future worlds based on what my vision of what we're currently doing took a lot of work to do, right? So especially since I've decided to wipe out the earth and at the end of the century. So what would that look like? And but then kind of try and keep it as realistic as possible. So that took a lot of work. So that for me was the most challenging. And then learning to co-write was challenging at the beginning as well when we first started out. So because I'd written already written two and a half books basically by myself, and then we started joining in. Like I said, I was blessed that she wanted to do that, but it was a transition period at the, took a while to get to where we're comfortable and at. And I know for her, I'll let her speak to what her challenges were. I'm her biggest challenge.
Yeah, my joke is we're still married.
Yeah.
We're still married.
Yeah.
But for me, it was it was I had to get up to speed on this genre
Oh,
for sure. And I'm constantly learning there. And the communication part and the how do I present this, without getting an ulcer. I at first I kind of tiptoe around things, and then I would get a response from him, or we'd talk about things, and then it's like I think he's missing the boat. He doesn't understand. And then he's just like, okay, well, you write it. So then I would rework something, and a lot of times it's in the middle somewhere, but that was hard at first. So I think learning to trust myself and just that it's a constantly evolving process that you don't ever stop learning. And it's such a big machine. The writing world is such a big machine, and it can really overwhelm me, because you've got the creative aspect of it and the collaborative communicative aspect in our situation, and then how do you get the work out there, and are you how do you know when it's ready to get out there? And so yeah, it's
No,
just it's big.
no,
So
it.
I love the creative aspect of it and just working with him. His ideas are massively big, and he just has such amazing ideas, and then he weaves all of these things together. He's the one who initiates it and weaves all of these things together, and then I'll say, well, what about this? And he's like, well, yeah, let's, you pursue that and we'll drop it in here. So we do that. So we've woven another strand in, and then you think, how is this going to all come out? And he does, and you just can't believe it. It's just kind of astounding. My part in this is more in the weeds, and just he's this macro thinker, and I'm this granular at that level. So the pacing is very different also. That's been a challenge because he just spits it out, and then I'm just like, notes
Well,
and lines.
I'll have a two-page info dump, and then she'll take that and spread it out with action and dialogue that's later in the chapter, so that it's
Move it
not
around.
so people like you and me go 2 pages of info, boom, boom, skip right by and keep going, right? So she's really helped in that aspect as well.
His
Sounds cool.
strengths are very different than mine, and I think that's been it works hand in hand, right? So
I just think it's always good for people to know how, how co-authors work. I think like for me, I'm like looking for one, but not till definitely like three novellas and definitely three full novels out. Because I feel like no offense to anybody out there, but I feel like a teenager in a relationship. I don't really know myself that well, yet. And then I think if I make decisions based off of that, they're not going to be the right ones. So now as a 37-year-old, I'm like, I know, like I'll tell my wife, she's like, can I go do this thing? Like, I like to hang with my son at night, and she's like, I just want to go like spend this hour. I'm like, just go. I'm like, we're cool. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I worked out. I read a little bit with the audiobook on the way home. Him and me are hanging out. I'm like, I like doing that. I don't want to go anywhere. I'm like, especially during the week, like we're fine with that, right? Like especially being in a relationship for 10 years, but like being a 20-something year old or younger than that, like that's different. So I still feel like that as an author, if that makes sense. So I always find it interesting how people, interact with their co-author, because I want to like really know myself, right? Before I get into a co-author relationship with somebody. So then I think I will be a more effective partner, if that makes sense. But I always find it interesting because I still want to know what to look for, right, in a co-author, if that makes sense. So that was something that I've had a couple conversations with people privately. So I'm glad you guys answered that, and I thought that was really insightful. So I thought that was helpful, but that's why I asked that one, because a couple people and I were like, oh, should we do the dance and co-author, or should we not? So I think it's interesting. But when it comes to like, what were some of the tropes you guys decided to lean into? We talked about like time travel, wormhole, things like that, FBI, AI, things like that. But what were some of those other tropes that you were just like, okay, we gotta have this in book one in particular for this, book two really make sense for the overarching plot, or just to be interesting for that first story?
Gosh, time travel has so many tropes.
Yeah, there's
It's a hard question. Sorry, but there's two of
yeah,
yours.
there's a lot there.
Our article out there with 50 tropes for time travel. It's like 50 ways to leave your lover, right? You know?
At least maybe what were like two in particular you guys thought were like, this has to
Well,
be here.
one of the ones I wanted to really build in was the bootstrap one. And you know, I have a section where one guy has a coin and his the name of the guy he needs to meet inscribed on it, and he goes back in the past to try and meet that guy, and then come to find out that guy gets the coin and then gives it back to him in the future.
Oh,
So
interesting.
who gives it to who first, right?
Yeah,
So
that's cool.
that whole thing. I want to stay away from the grandfather paradox because I didn't want to dive into that one. But so that was one of the big ones. It's like, okay, what really comes first, and how do we handle that? So,
That's cool.
and the other one was people coming back to try and fix the future, right? And that was our big one.
Is there a
So,
chosen
is
one?
there a chosen one? You
Oh,
know,
nice. Hey.
is something from the past going to get left, or from the future going to get left in the past? And what would people think about that? What, you know,
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that one. That's a good
how would
one.
that create a ripple effect? Or
And then
that's cool. the other one that I tease is because of course we have Hunter and Kristen. They're both young, but Hunter has a fiance, and so he's very, loyal. And so Kristen's very, I don't understand, but they wind up becoming good friends and not lovers, right? So I stayed away from that piece, but they become more like brother and sister.
Instead of going back and finding your
Yeah.
true love,
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Yeah. I get that one. I have that's like my two my female character, my prequel novellas from Urban Fantasy. She's like, I don't like him. She goes, I like him, but not like that. She's like, he's not my type. And he said the same thing. So I was like, okay, not a problem. But yeah, so I totally get that. That's funny. But that's cool. I thought that, there's like you said, there's just so many. So I always find it overwhelming at times, right? To go into a genre and you're trying to find particular tropes that you like, but not to get, I don't know, too overwhelming, right? Particularly for the plot. And so, yeah, I always find it interesting when people, like what they chose and, kind of like why they chose it. So I think that's interesting.
You're always, I'm sorry, you're always trying to just find an unexpected little twist within whatever you're, so it's not just the same thing,
No, that makes total sense. I know we're winding on time down here, but I got to make sure I get this question in for you guys. So I'm just curious at like, how did you set up the plot to unfold within the time traveling sphere, and then still make those changes in terms of the technology? Because to me, it's like, you talked a little bit about the technology, but I'm just curious at like how you decided it was going to actually work that way within this genre. And I know you said you put a little bit more science in there. So I'm just kind of curious at like how you decided that and how that was going to match up for you in terms of how the story was going to unfold.
A lot of times it was just what's the right tool for the job, right? And so, and how do I make that just not the mundane or normal, right? And a lot of
That's a
it
good point.
starting to starting it, a lot of it starting to come true because I started this book back in 2015, the first one, and I had a drone that looked like an air cycle that had four jet engines, in the corners, and it was AI driven. You could ride on it, and now you see pictures of those happening. There's a section called the Whale Wars in book one, and there's a whales are being driven by these dolphins that are robotic dolphins, and then the good guys send out the shark, which is an AI driven torpedo, and drone thing, and so things like that. And then you see articles where they're
Set the
actually
news.
using those things in the news now, or a robotic dogs. I had a long time, AI driven robotic dogs that were a lot bigger than the ones now. But then, I saw a deal on the news where Trump has robotic dogs guarding his compound,
Oh,
right?
interesting.
It was like,
And
oh,
you said
wow.
they're sending him into combat
Yeah,
too,
they're
right?
saying,
I
they're
saw that. I
using,
saw that. It some of the ones I was like, guys, this is how we get to Terminator. Like, if we could just the new one from th about 2 months ago that I can't remember. It was one of I think it was Japan. I know they love those big mechs too, you know,
Yes.
but
Yeah.
their robot they unleashed, I was like, this thing was like, I've done martial arts for years. I was like, oh
Yeah.
man. I was like, thought of iRobot with Will Smith in a heartbeat. I was just like, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Yeah.
And then also dive into the nanotechnology too, which is,
Oh yeah.
I think, going to be just as big as anything that we do with robotics and AI, right? So
He has
yeah.
always been ahead of himself. The recombinant theory he wrote in, I think, 1989, something like that. And
Yeah.
he wrote he wrote things in there, and I read that and I'm like, oh, come on, you
Oh
know.
yeah.
And I
Yep.
mean,
Yeah, for
CRISPR
sure.
or whatever. Even
Yeah.
one was, this guy was going to escape the scene, and he jumps on his motorcycle and hits a button, and it roars to life. And I'm going, oh, please, you know. And just
Well, CD panel pops out, right?
Yeah,
And then, it just,
yeah.
we had an agent look at it, and she came back. She goes, you know, some of this is just too
He's
fantastical.
been.
Nobody will ever believe it. Yeah, I said, like, what? She goes, well, no one will ever be able to break into a mainframe
Yeah,
computer.
exactly.
I said, okay.
Yeah, that's funny. Some of the
So
older
several
James,
minutes.
well, I was not even older, but just some like not even, you know, like Sean Connery, but even like the Pierce Brosnan, like a few of those things that Q came up with, I'm like, sensors on your mirrors are just like, but that was like, you know, what they some of the small things he didn't even notice that he had, right? And then the Tesla, you know, the display and everything for the windshield. I just thought it was so funny. My friend pointed that out. He's like, this is where we're at, Dan. I'm like, that's
There,
fair.
we're there,
Yeah. So to be fair,
so
right, what they say, the 70s is further away than the 90s or whatever now. So
Mm-hmm.
yeah, it's scary. I just want to make sure we had enough time for that last question. You know, do you guys have any news updates or current projects that you can share with us?
Oh yeah, we do. We got some exciting news. First of all, book two, this
Here's
book,
book one.
here's
Oh, that's
Future
cool.
Unfold, comes, and this is a nice book cover. It comes out in February 4th.
Oh, perfect.
Our publisher is going to print it with a cloth cover and sprayed
Oh,
edges, so it's going to look
cool.
really nice. The paperback of Future Unfold comes out, and it's going to be have a foil cover. So, and the
Awesome.
reason that kind of stuff is happening is because we're with the Story Plant by Lou Aronica. And Lou Aronica did
Star Wars.
Star Wars, not the prequel, but the after
Oh, okay.
story series. And Ray Bradbury was he published Ray Bradbury, and then he decided to go out on his own. So he's merging with another company called Grammarly Media. That's a startup company, but it's a large startup company. They got
Oh, interesting.
mega bucks, and they're going to do books, movie, TV, and
Gaming.
gaming. So as your books take off, they'll move into the other
Oh, that's cool.
medium. And then they're also creating communities and doing graphic novels and graphic and comic books
Interactive.
and interactive book set, where if you have a book, you can start reading it on your iPad, and if you decide you want to listen to it, you can switch over to
Oh,
narration,
that's cool.
and then it'll pick back up where you ever you left off if you want to start reading again. And so we're real excited about that, because that's allows us to reach a broader audience. And
Yeah, for
they've
sure.
talked about Future's Dark Paths, or the Time Forward trilogy, being a TV series, because there's so much
That's
potential to
cool.
dive off into other areas
Yeah.
that don't really touch. So there's the African wars and the other characters, where we could really develop their more backstory with them and how they got to
Oh,
where
that's
they're at.
cool.
So we're real excited about that. So their big announcement will be out by the time you publish this. That's why I
Oh,
can talk
cool.
about it
That's what I was going to
now.
ask. That's awesome.
So it's not out yet, but I think it'll be late December or the beginning of January when they make this big announcement. They're going to keep the name Story Plant instead of Grammarly Media. And I think all the leadership team is kind of glad about that, because Story Plant already has a following, and
Explains.
it actually explains it better. So
Yeah.
we're pretty excited about that. But so, and then book three will come out the year after Time Impact. And so we're excited about that. We're all
Future.
Future Impact, yeah. And we're already talking about the next series, and it's already, we have to finish book three by the end of this year, the editing phase. We're neck deep in that right now, and then I'll start the next series after that. But Future Unfolds comes out February 4th, so we're excited about that.
Which is ironic that we're shooting and recording this in the future, right? For it to come out in
Yeah,
the future. So, or in the past for it to come out in the future. Yeah. So we're already time traveling, guys. It's kind of
there you go.
funny. Well, that's awesome. Congrats, by the way. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that unfolds. I think the big A needs some competition, particularly in those realms. So it'd be nice because I've seen where that definitely helps everybody out. In particular, makes things more competitive and always helps out creatives. So I think that's really cool. But I just want to remind our audience, you can find their links in the description anywhere where you're watching or listening to this podcast. We just want to remind people, speaking of, audio, books, things like that, whether they're paperback, Kindle, Google Play, whatever. Please make sure that you guys are reviewing those products. I want to also mention too that a lot of places you need separate reviews because that helps everybody on those particular sites and apps. There was an article about 2 weeks ago that tried to remind a lot of us creatives about that. So whether I go on to Audible, whether I go on to Goodreads, Amazon, whether I go to Google Play, I'm always making sure that I am reviewing those products because it helps everybody directly. But I want to thank both of you for coming on today. This has been really, really awesome. I love talking about time travel and the genre and seeing how people come up with things because it's one of my favorites. My son is named Marty after my father-in-law, but
Well, there you go.
my brother goes, yeah, sure he is. Like you just we love my brother and I love Back to the Future. The first one in particular
Yeah,
is
I
like
do
one of
too.
our
You're a
joint
history
movies.
guy.
And that's like something we always share. Like we always watch it at Thanksgiving, Christmas. So it's always near and dear to my heart. I was like, why don't you write this? I'm like, well, like maybe if I do some more, sci-fi slash fantasy stuff rather than just science fiction, that is appealing to me more and more. So that's really cool. But thank you so much, guys, for coming up. If there's anything
Thank
I can
you.
do in
Enjoy
the
it.
meantime or after, you just hit me up on TikTok or any of my other social medias. I'm on Blue Sky now. Everybody join me there. Create our empire and help everybody out. But other than that, just let me know what I can do to help you guys out, get the word out there, and I will do the best that I can.
Appreciate
So
it. Appreciate it.
yeah,
All right.
anytime. Well, I look forward to talking to you guys when book three is out, or before that, and we'll schedule
We'd
that and
love to,
chit chat. Perfect.
Sounds
Awesome.
good.
Well, you two have a great
Thank
rest of the
you.
day, and yep, I'll talk to you guys soon. Okay, I'll see you guys later.
Okay.
All
All
right.
right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.